But then we're going to go through another part here, Paul on prayer part two. And this is going to kind of go through some of his prayers. A little while back, we went through a study on the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians was filled with a few of his prayers. And what we see in this part two, we'll just go through, I think it's four little sections here. Number one, his prayer was praying to know God better. God wants to be known. God wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal himself to you and me in such a way that we have a revelatory knowledge, a revelation knowledge of who God is. Not just what the preacher has told us, which is good, hopefully. They've taught us the scripture. We've read the Bible. We understand some of the many things about who God is. But God wants it to even be deeper than that, to where it is an actual revelation in our hearts of who God is. And when I first got saved, I didn't know God that well. I mean, I got saved, I began to read my Bible, pray. But as I began to walk with God, God began to reveal himself to me in a very personal and intimate way. I saw God answering prayers that really were, you know, some of them miraculous in a way. I think I've told you before, I remember when I got baptized in water, it was raining. It was August the 29th, I remember. And at that time, it was real misty and rainy, and we were going to get baptized in Hot Creek over there in near Capulene there, up in the mountains. Hot Creek is a area where they fish. Anyways, there was a certain area where they would block off the water to kind of let it get a little fuller. But it was real misty and raining that day, and I had said a prayer, Lord, when I get baptized in water, I don't want to be baptized with rain. I don't want it to be raining, Lord. I want the sun to be out when I get baptized. And so I remember as we were, there was like four or five of us that got water baptized that day. And we were there and they were singing some songs, little coritos. And the first one went in to get water baptized and it was still raining. They came out. The second one went in and came out all wet, but still raining. And then I don't remember which order where I was in it all, but when it was my turn, as I began to walk towards the water, all of a sudden the rain stopped. And as I got towards the water, started to walk into the water where I was going to get baptized, all of a sudden it cleared up. The sun broke through and the light shone through almost like you could kind of see rays, like if you were to picture in your minds. Not that it was really like that, but the sun was out. So I got baptized in the water. And when I got out of the water and was walking out the bank into the other side, then all of a sudden the clouds gathered up again. And then within a few minutes, it began to mist again and kind of sprinkle, and God answered my prayer. You know, that wasn't coincidence. I believe God was answering my prayer. But God wants to reveal himself to us so that we can have those testimonies to say, God did this in my life. And you see, it's a testimony that the world out there can't take away from you. They can say God doesn't exist. They can try to argue his non-existence and say science says this and learning says that. But you can never take away a real experience. And I have an experience. I've had that. It's a personal experience for me. But God wants to do it for all of us. He doesn't just say, oh, I favor James Archuleta over everyone else. No, he loves you and me all the same. And so Paul has this, to pray to know God better. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 21. And I'm not going to belabor this because we did talk about it when we went through Ephesians a little while back. But these verses are beautiful. And it's a prayer of Paul. As he was talking and writing to the Ephesians, he said this, therefore I also, after hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love towards all saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers, so that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, look at his prayer, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Paul's desire for the Ephesians was that they would know him with that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul understood God through revelation. He had had an experience with God, and it was so vibrant, so real. He didn't want to be selfish about it. He wanted everyone that he ministered to know God this way. And I like how he says that in verse 19. He says, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us? I like how he says, he doesn't just say towards me or towards just the apostles, or just towards those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit. No. He says towards all of us who believe. You see, God, we must always remember that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't favor one race above another. In Christ Jesus, he's not even favoring the Jews above the Gentiles. In Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek, he would say. There is neither male nor female. You see, every kind of division that once was eradicated in Christ Jesus. So a woman could know God just as much as a man could. A different color of skin could know God just as much as the other color of skin. It doesn't matter if someone's rich or someone is poor. God wants to make himself known, and Paul's desire was that people would know God better. And I'm telling you, God wants to reveal himself to you and to me in ways that we've never known God before. I always have loved it about Paul, you know, in the book of Philippians, that even at the close of his life, he was already under house arrest. He was a prisoner at the time. That it was there that he said, I don't want to know anything except Christ. Everything else compared to knowing him, he said, is dung. Dung, that's droppings, that's animal droppings. That's what he's talking about, it's manure. Yeah. You know, now we're getting manure for our gardens ready, you know, we know what that is. But he's saying everything else compared to knowing God is that. I don't want to know anything but him. You see, the depth of knowing who God is gets deeper and deeper. We really can exhaust the knowledge of God. I mean, thank God for what we've known of God in our youth or over the years in our life with God, but there's more. There is a greater depth, a greater knowledge of God, a greater joy of knowing him, and it really cannot be exhausted. And it's a beautiful thing to know that it doesn't stop somewhere. You know, it doesn't stop with this revelation, or it doesn't stop with, you know, this kind of seminar or hearing that preacher or going to that church. No, it's a place that we can know him intimately in our own prayer closet, intimately ourselves. And it's beautiful that we can have as much of God as we want. And so it's a beautiful thing. And it was his prayer for those in Ephesus to know God in that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. In other words, that they may be opened up and that you may see the glory of God, that you may know the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance among the saints. There is so much to be known of God and so much that God wants to show us. But sadly, like I was talking about a little bit earlier, in our flesh, there's a struggle. And it takes discipline to move beyond the arena of the flesh and distractions of the flesh, the tiredness of the flesh. We were talking about how tired we were today. When we're tired, it's hard to pray. We're human. We're sometimes weak. Now, that doesn't mean God holds it against us. Oh, we need to rest more that day. No. We don't need to be condemned. We don't need to carry condemnation. God forbid that I would ever bring condemnation on anyone in a teaching like this. No, sometimes we need to rest. But that doesn't mean that we stop the discipline that's necessary to make advancement. It's just like with anything else, and like we were talking about earlier with the runner that's trying to win a prize. If he's not exercising and not disciplined, there's no way he can run. In the same way, if we're not going to discipline ourselves to pray and to keep our devotional time in prayer and reading and seeking the face of God, there will not be advancement. Now, that doesn't mean we lose our salvation. God forbid. We're born again by faith. Amen? But we can have more of God. And we can understand and know God better and enter into a depth of knowledge. But that degree of knowing will only grow as we have more of a discipline to seek the face of God. Amen? And thank God that that's the way it is. I remember someone said that God doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. And that means that there are people, you know, that will pay that price in prayer, that they will begin to seek God and pay that price and will receive more of that revelation. So we'll stop there. We've got a few more to go with Paul, and then we'll go into the general epistles where it talks about prayer. But aren't you thankful that God wants to reveal himself to us, that he loves us that way? You see, God isn't just the figment of our imagination. He's very real. And he wants to show himself strong on our behalf. I remember hearing stories of David Wilkerson. One time he was saying that he was there, you know, in church and they were singing, and all of a sudden he just says God just got a hold of him. And he says, you don't know what happened. You don't know how it happened. But when he came to, he says he was underneath the piano bench. And he just, through that whole time, just felt the presence of God touching him. And he says, I wanted to get up. And he says he felt the hand of God push him back down. He wanted to get up, and God was just touching him, you know. There are revelations, experiences that we can have. But those will be, sometimes they're few and far between, but they can be experienced. And like I said, it's not for the mighty evangelist, it's for anyone. But we just need to draw near. Amen. And if we will draw near to God, the Bible says he will draw near to us. Thank God for the beauty of prayer. Amen. It's really about relationship. It's not religious duty. It's not just something we're supposed to do and have to do. What joy is there in that? You see what I'm saying? What joy is there in that? But when we know someone and we delight to be in their presence, it's joyful to be there. We like to be around them. It's something that we enjoy. And that's real true prayer is going to be enjoyable in that way, because we enjoy to be in his presence. It's not just the religious duty. That's empty that way. But thank God he wants to show himself on our behalf. Amen. Any questions, any thoughts before we close in prayer? Thank God for the subject of prayer. It really is something that we should enjoy. And thank God for it. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for all that we've been learning, and I thank you for all that Paul taught us through his epistles, as well as, Lord, through those prayers that he did pray, just like the one that we just read in Ephesus or in Ephesians. Lord, that there is, Lord God, that experience, that depth of knowing you, a revelation that, Lord God, is deeper than just head knowledge. It's deeper than just a Bible school education. Lord, it's deeper, Lord God, than just what someone has said. It's an experience that we have experienced personally. And so I pray that you would draw us into those depths, Lord, of an experience that, Lord, it would be such an experience that we would delight in it more and more. That, Lord, we would never be satisfied, Lord, with, Lord God, maybe the crumbs, but, Lord, we would seek, Lord God, for the full table of what you want to show us. And so, Lord, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that there would be that drawing of the Spirit, Lord, that we would hear your voice calling to us. That, Lord, when you're telling us to pray about certain things, we will pray about those things. But that, Lord, in that secret place, it would be an experience with you. And so draw us ever closer, we pray. And we thank you for the privilege that it is that, Lord, you want to reveal yourself to us. Lord, you've opened the door wide. You've given us open access to your throne. It was all accomplished because of the cross, and it was shown to be true through your resurrection. And so now we don't have to be afraid of coming into your presence, for you accept us just as we are. And so help us, Lord, to take advantage of that open door, Lord, that we can come right into your presence and enjoy you as you enjoy us. And so go with us tonight. Keep us safe as we travel. And I pray more than anything, Lord, that you would give unto us the spirit of revelation and knowledge concerning who you are. Go with us, we pray, and keep us all in Jesus' name. Amen.